From years of anxiety to warrior and mentor, Bradley Robinson created the Anxiety Project to help you end your anxiety naturally. Let's mold the new you and let's end anxiety together.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Anxiety Project channel. Welcome back to the community of anxiety recovery and warriors who just want to better their lives. And I'm talking about pornography recovery today on episode 277. I'm talking about NoFap and the whole addiction process. And this is going to lead me into a huge realization that I had over the last couple months in my personal experience, abstaining from intimacy from my wife and abstaining from pornography, abstaining from masturbation. And this is really going to change the game for people wondering about NoFap, whether it's safe, whether NoFap is good in the long run. And really, that's what we're talking about today. So there is going to be an episode, a part of this episode that's going to resonate with you, even if you are not struggling with pornography specifically, but it will resonate with something else in your life that you are struggling with that you can't seem to lose your grip over. And so I think the best way to start out this episode is to talk about dopamine, because dopamine, as you may or may not know, is the craving neurochemical, and it's the I just can't wait to have it neurochemical. Just wait until neurochemical, right? It's the thought that you are going to attain something, and you get positive emotion when you see yourself progressing towards a goal. And the goal could be watching pornography. Something triggers your, because you get a feeling and then you get a thought and then you, well, the thought brings about that dopaminergic kick, like the thought that, hey, just wait until you obtain this. It's exciting. Just like people who think that they're going to, you know, have sex or go do a drug, or even before going to a concert, or, you know, before picking up the phone and going on social media, the thought of, you know, checking out the new updated photos and how many likes you have on Instagram, that's all related to dopamine. And so then think about this. The more separated you are from biological necessities, natural human needs like intimacy, you know, connection, the unknown, or just being in touch with nature, being alone with your own thoughts, things that we should be doing to maintain some sort of mental health, I mean, some sort of mental clarity, sanity even, but we're not doing, a lot of what society is doing is they're behind a screen, they're at home, they're feeling isolated, they're on the computer, they're in a cubicle all day. No wonder, I understand why people are smoking cigarettes more often or doing more drugs or taking prescriptions or, you know, looking at pornography. I understand, because think of the isolated rat. This has already been documented that you take a rat from its natural environment out where it can run around freely and to be with its family and friends, and you take it and you put it in a cage. What happens? It becomes easily addicted to substances, specifically cocaine. But it's hard to addict a rat in its natural environment like that to cocaine. Why? Because it's already being fulfilled in all of its needs already and doesn't need some external means to well, feel like they're normal or feel good in some way. I mean, I've noticed in my life that the more responsibility I bear, the more meaning that comes into my life. I know you probably hear this from Jordan Peterson all the time, but it's absolutely true, because when I see myself cleaning up and I'm like maintaining my apartment or getting chores done or going to the gym or getting a podcast done or, you know, and anything like that, I get this reward. Like, you know, I'm doing things, I'm getting things done, I'm progressing, I'm attaining and I'm progressing and I'm attaining. But it's a very interesting win. It's a different kind of win than what I got with pornography back when I used to watch it multiple times a day. It's different. And this dopamine serves us, because imagine back then on the veldt when we're hunting and gathering, it feels good to kill an animal to feed the tribe, to provide for your community. And we're connecting, we're running, we're getting exercises, we're not being overly stimulated, we're not sitting around all day, we're doing things. And now it's so easy to neglect the body, it's so easy to neglect the mind. No wonder so many people are falling more into depression and anxiety. They're not progressing, they're not even doing things that are difficult, because that's really where the reward comes from, is doing difficult things. And so pornography is stimulating progression. You know, it's stimulating your progression, and it's simulating progression. That's a good way of putting it. Simulating it. It makes you feel like it's like a video game. It makes you feel like you're progressing your character, but when you turn off the video game and you come back to reality, what happens? Well, everything that you've neglected about yourself or put to the side that you don't want to confront, it just comes up. Maybe, you know, you're feeling anxious. Maybe, you know, the computer game is taking over your life because it's the one thing that's making you feel fulfilled, and it's just taking up mental real estate. And it's like, I'm not going to feel satisfied until I get on the computer next and I continue the game. But what about the moments that are passing you by when you're going to work, when you're driving, when you're, you know, when you're dealing with family, and you're just overly frustrated because you're not giving back to yourself, quote unquote, right? Giving back to yourself because you don't have the time to watch pornography. Or it's like if something is getting in the way of your goal-directed behavior, so if something gets in the way of you watching pornography or from playing that video game that you're so accustomed to playing, then you're going to get a big kick of negative emotion. Because look at pornography, right? It's the pursuit of pornography is easy. It's easy to obtain, really. You just have to take out your phone. But that's a huge sign that it is not worthwhile for you to continue. And you have to ask, well, why? Because to obtain pornography is no stretch. There's nothing to it. You just got to turn on the phone. You got to watch the videos. It's there. It's accessible. Difficult pursuits have more reward. Going to the gym, cold plunges, early rising in the morning, house duties, just taking on responsibilities. Dating is difficult. It's a game. It's a dance. Communication between somebody, between people is a skill. Developing the persona is a skill. And so I found when I was listening to neuroscientist Andrew Huberman, he said on a podcast, there's this part of the brain, the anterior mid-cingulate cortex. And this brain area grows when people do difficult things. And I was listening to that, and he couldn't believe it when he discovered that. And I was like, wow, I'm so glad he could label a part of that brain that grows. I already knew from reading Norman Doidge that our brain, develops while we do difficult things, you know, it rewires when we're constantly growing and developing. But it's interesting to hear Huberman talk about that this part is actually growing. And he saw in obese people that this part of the brain is small. It's smaller compared to people who have dieted, right? People like athletes, it's large. People like who play musical instruments and are continuously stretching their capacity, it grows. People like David Goggins, who are pushing their boundaries all the time, every single day, that part of their brain is larger. Think of it like if you have a developing mindset and you're constantly in a book, a new book, new experiences, you're pushing yourself to overcome a fear, the brain is developing, it's growing, and you're stretching yourself. And that makes a lot of sense. And people who have this part of their brain more developed, they have a stronger willpower and they have a stronger and more confident approach to difficult things. They're more likely going to overcome difficult things in the future because they've already done so much work in the past. I thought that was cool. When you watch pornography, you develop a tolerance to the videos that you're watching because you find certain videos stimulating. But what I've noticed, not just within myself, but through the literature of pornography that I've read, is that people push the boundaries of what they find stimulating. And it's not just in the videos, it's actually in real world experiences with other people. I thought that was interesting because people develop a tolerance to what they find stimulating. And so they continue to push beyond to more stimulating videos because they're always on the edge of the novelty. And that's what makes pornography in particular so addictive, is they're on that edge. It's stimulating, but you know, what if I can find that next video that'll even be even more rewarding than this one? And it, you know, people can really get going. And I certainly was one of those people. I would watch pornography for at least 30 minutes, just scrolling around. You know, it's the excitement of the next one's better. It's like the slot machine mentality of someone on Instagram, right? That you pull the lever, the next video feed is interesting, the next photo is interesting. Maybe this one's going to be even funnier. Maybe this one's going to be even cuter. And then I also think that leaving the door open to pornography means that you can always fall back on this when the things that come to you in the outside world don't particularly meet expectations. Maybe you're not finding a partner. Maybe the relationship's not working out. Maybe, you know, the difficult things that you're stumbling upon in life, it's easy to fall back on something easy and accessible to kind of make you feel good for the moment. It's like Peter Pan. I always loved this metaphor, and I stumbled upon this through Jordan Peterson as well, where he was talking about how this Tinkerbell is like the embodiment of porn to Peter Pan. I mean, Pan means everything, right? Pan is like the king of the Lost Boys. He's everything. He doesn't want to fit into one identity. He wants to kind of bounce around and live this free-flowing kind of lifestyle. Doesn't want to take on responsibility, adulthood. So he would rather, you know, value a fake woman that flutters around as provocative, like pornography, rather than take on the real responsibility of someone like Wendy. And then also with pornography, I think that, from my experience, I think that it's so stimulating because the fake thing is so, I mean, it's created in a way that is the pinnacle of what's stimulating in the area of intimacy and sex. That's what it is. It's the pinnacle. So what happens when you get to the pinnacle of stimulation? Real world experiences won't meet the criteria. Real relationships won't meet that. And then you feel a lack of actual intimacy with a real person. So you'd rather fall back into the fake. You'd rather fall back into fantasy land than to bear any responsibility or bear the harsh realities of wrestling in a real relationship, because it's a skill to develop. I mean, a real relationship involves two people who are constantly growing. They're wrestling with each other. I mean, you have to, you know, fall into arguments once in a while to sort through problems. Your partner's going to have problems. You're going to have problems. You're both going to be filled with faults and snakes that you're always dealing and sorting out. It's already difficult. It's already complicated as it is. So it's easy to leave a door open And that's also another thing why I like Peterson, who talks about relationships and mentions that people who aren't married and who live with their partner have a door open that when things get too difficult, they have an opportunity to leave. And what marriage is more like the act of bearing the responsibility of that sacred union between two flawed people that, you know, no matter what, we're going to stick together and sort through our problems and not leaving a door open. Leaving a door open, I mean, are you ever going to be committed enough if there's a door open? That's why I had to draw a line in the sand for me. No pornography. That's it. There's no exception. Oh, maybe once in a while. No. And plus, I have an addictive tendency. Right? So when I'm in, I go all in. You know, it's the screw it mentality, you know, before you get the hit of that dopamine. You know, if you tell yourself, well, you know what, screw it. It's like, well, that thought is real, man. That thought is going to be so reflexive and common that it's going to drive you into these really, well, uncontrollable places in regards to the addiction. And so you're increasing your desire for the real thing. If you're not pursuing a real relationship and you're just watching pornography, the pornography will increase your desire for the real thing. And in return, it'll make the real thing ever so valuable and also intimidating, because if you fall back on pornography, you leave the door open, right? You fall back on pornography rather than pursue a real person, the struggle of a real relationship, bearing that real relationship. Then how are you ever going to commit, or how are you ever going to, you know, face the facts that, you know, because you're going to fall into loneliness. You're going to, and that's what brings me to this realization that I've had over the last few months, because Maggie, as you may or may not know, is pregnant and she has sickness all day. She has one of those genetic conditions where she has nausea 24/7. So our intimacy went down to zero over the past 5 months now. So no intimacy. Well, you know, we would be together, you know, we would cuddle, we would be close, we would talk. And there's something that came up that made me want to do this podcast. It's the fact that if you're not pursuing a real companion on the side, then NoFap should not be pursued. Because if you're sitting around on your computer playing games and you're not pursuing a real relationship, there's going to be a very deep sense of lacking, the lacking of connection, companionship. And there's going to be a real frustration. I'm all for no pornography. Nobody should be watching pornography. But in this realm, I'm talking about masturbation specifically. If you're really pursuing no masturbation, that's great, but are you pursuing a relationship on the side? I think that's critical because you're going to develop a very strong sense of frustration if you're isolated like that rat. You're going to tend to other things that are addictive. You might substitute pornography with games or drugs, alcohol, the phone, whatever it is, you're going to substitute that. I've discovered over the past few months that I've been substituting, you know, that intimacy that Maggie and I used to have with other things. Like I noticed I was shopping more on the internet. I was like, oh my God. And I knew that it was a consequence of that lack, or I was catching myself watching more TV than usual. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, why? Like, this isn't really me. It's not, I don't feel fulfilled. It's not solving the underlying solution, because when you get the release of masturbation, pornography, or any of the substances that you deem to be valuable in your life, there's this void that comes up, because the void that made you pursue that substance, it disappears during the pursuit of it. But when you attain it, there's a sense of shame, guilt, or maybe lacking that I certainly had around it. And that void will pop up. It doesn't go away, because if it's a good habit, if it's a good behavior, the void will actually lessen and dissipate in the long run, right? So if you go to the gym, for example, you do something difficult, you go out in nature, you avoid social media, then what happens is there's a long-term gain. I mean, I noticed even just taking a cold plunge in the morning, the feeling that it would provide me, it would last throughout the whole day. That's the power of these things. The gym, it'll last 24 hours. The feeling of doing a hard workout for 1 hour even, it will last throughout the rest of your day, and then your sleep will be better. But if you do something like pornography, you masturbate, it's like you feel good for 10 minutes, half an hour, but then, you know, for me, when I look back, not really, because I would feel tired, I would feel kind of depleted, even a little bit of shame and guilt associated with that. So it's complicated, but if it's truly a good habit for you, it will have a twofold effect that'll benefit, twofold benefit. And so that's what I noticed with things like the gym. It had a long-lasting effect. So I knew that was a more worthwhile pursuit. And then I also realized that if you're thinking, well, Brad, what if I just pursue NoFap and, you know, I go to the gym? What if I just go to the gym? What if I just, you know, to release that? What if, you know, and it works to some degree, but it's not going to give you that connection. That's what the underlying thing is. It's the connection part. It's the intimacy part between another person that we need. You're not going to get that from the gym or the nature. It's going to fulfill other parts for sure. But the intimacy and connection is what's necessary. And well, I think you should be pursuing that, a relationship. Having a line in the sand and making that decision for yourself that you're willing to forgo instant gratification, what's convenient now, for the long-term benefits of foregoing that. And that makes you into a tough character. Tough times makes you into a tough character. And there's a passage from Exodus that I want to read you that relates to this. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go down, because your people, whom you've brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol, cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it.'" And so I interpret this as the people turned from higher truth. They turned away from what's infinite to something what's finite. And they started to worship the finite, materialism. They forgot about the higher truths, the path towards their higher selves. Because you got to think, at the same time, they're wandering through the desert trying to make order out of chaos. Because when you're because they decided to move away from the tyranny, because they had faith that, you know what, to get to the promised land, we have to go beyond the tyranny. Maybe, with the hopes of things being better. Just, you know, that you taking that leap of faith. But when you take that leap of faith, you always wind up in the chaotic desert because you're trying to formulate new order. You took what you're familiar with, you dispensed with that, and now you have to establish order out of the unknown because that's where you are when you leave what's familiar. It makes sense. But then these people decide, you know what, we're out here. Let's turn to this idol out of gold, this calf, this golden calf. And they're starting to get comfortable out there in the unknown. They're starting to establish some sort of familiarity, but not with the transcendent, not with truth, but they're starting to worship gold, materialism, as the highest ideal. But what happens when you worship that as the highest of ideals? Like pornography, it's unfulfilling. It's only going to serve you for the moment, but it's not going to solve your underlying desires. And what is God? God is the spirit that calls the better parts of you forth out into existence. It calls for that. It's potential. It's the spirit of goodness. And remember what we talked about before, what Andrew Huberman said about that part of the brain that stretches itself when we overcome some sort of difficulty, and mind you, voluntarily confronting what's difficult is what's also important here, because the things that, you know, come and creep up behind you and traumatize you, that's a different story. That activates more of the fear circuit rather than exploratory circuit. And that kind of brings us to the evolution side of things, where when we look at our history over the centuries of our evolution, what we understand is that we've traversed the unknown and made habitable order within that unknown for as long as we have been on this planet. And the life has been absolutely difficult. And what we've done as humans is we observe certain patterns of behavior that tends to work in our favor. And then over the centuries, we've acted that out in drama. The drama is a meta narrative of the actions that have been proven to work in our favor for our survival and the survival of our community. What to avoid? What do we need to sacrifice in order for things to be better? And we've come to know now that we shouldn't hold on to the finite pornography. You know, we shouldn't hold on to our possessions with such strength and value. But we should be grateful for what we have, and we should turn to the things that we have in a very grateful perspective, obviously. But what I'm saying is, if you put that as top value to you, then what happens when it's taken away? What happens when you're deprived of that? Where do you go? There's so much more of what you don't understand than what you are holding on to. And what you're holding on to is already mastered. And human beings, we get bored of what's mastered. We want to look to the unknown because we are exploratory creatures. That's just in our nature. And for me, sacrificing the finite things that I held on to opened up a space in my life where I then looked to my existence as a learning opportunity, that I have so much to learn I have so much to do in my life. God is this beautiful, beautiful thing to strive towards. God is the voice that calls forth the best within you. You know that voice that tells you to go to the gym and then you're like, oh no, why did that voice tell me to go to the gym? I really don't want to. I'm tired, had a long day. But it's telling you something. What is that voice? I call that voice God, because that voice wants to stretch you further, wants you to go to the gym, wants you to do something difficult so that you then see this different side of yourself. That voice called to me to sit and said, Brad, stop watching porn. What are you doing? Is this who you want to be? I stumbled upon people on YouTube that overcame pornography addiction. And that planted this seed, because this voice then said, you know what? You could do better. At first, my ego was resistant towards these people that overcame this. But this voice called from within me and said, you know what? You ain't shit, Brad. You ain't shit. You can do this. Go for that. And it's a voice you don't want to hear, but that's God. The voice that wants you to be better. And that's where I'm going to leave you today on this podcast episode. Thank you, everyone, for being a listener, being a supporter. I love you all. I appreciate you. And make sure you head on over to the YouTube channel, subscribe. Let me know what you think. Join that community. It's growing. I am always planning for the future on what to talk about and what to explore. We're exploring things together. And I hope you stay on board. Rise above anxiety. I'll see you next time.
Brad's Powerful Anxiety Recovery Program is now available at unpluganxiety.com. The Anxiety Project Program is downloadable and puts the power of anxiety recovery in your own hands. Visit unpluganxiety.com for more details. Recovery starts now.